peace in believing. And so God wants a something special in our hearts. But there's more than that. One of the young people on Monday I was talking to, and he said to me, "Nick, I really enjoy Carity Wood." So I said, "Well, what did you enjoy?" And he said, "I love God more." And I thought, this is good. And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, when I get back to New Life, I really want to be as helpful as possible to everybody at New Life." And I said, "You want to, in other words, you want to serve God." And I thought, how wonderful that if that is the fruit that people want to be, as a result of loving Jesus more, they want their lives to make a difference, then that's what we want to sustain, don't we? As well as the love, joy, and peace in our hearts. And here's a picture of a burning heart, which was our theme on the weekend. Now, this old gentleman, do any of you recognize this from the video? Yes?
William Booth.
Yes, that's right, William Booth. We had a wonderful video about William Booth and the Salvation Army. They all got their sleeping bags and they all lay on the floor with a little bit of food, and we all watched this film together, and it was absolutely wonderful. The good news is that William Booth didn't always look that old. Here he is with Catherine Booth, who was another wonderful, godly person. And together, they pioneered a revival. They were famous ever before they went to the East End. There was an amazing revival in Cornwall in which 7,000 people became Christians. They were really on fire, William and Catherine Booth. They look a bit old, but boy, they made a difference. In this one, he looks even older. That's the streets of the East End. And there he is in the top right-hand corner, looking pretty old, eh? And that was all the ragtag people, the prostitutes, the beggars, people who had nothing in life, that he went and reached out to. And thousands of them came to Jesus because this old man was on fire. And he kept that fire burning in his heart. The symbol of the Salvation Army was blood and fire. Do you like that? Blood and fire. And by that he meant the blood of Jesus shed on the cross and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Louise is smiling with her Salvation Army connections over there. Blood and fire. But they paid a price. Here's a picture of the flag that they would take out with them. Blood and fire. And as a result of their witness, the pub owners and the gambling houses got very angry with them. And so they got together a whole lot of people called the Skeleton Army. And they attacked them. They went in with clubs and beat them up. And the Salvation Army had several people who were martyrs, who died for what they believed in. There was a price to pay for their fire. And there they are. That's a cartoon that was done at the time. At the back, you can see the skull and crossbones of the Skeleton Army. And in the end, the magistrates, I think this was in Worthing, lovely Worthing, where the Skeleton Army attacked them, and eventually the police got a hold of it. But to start with, they took some persuading. So at Carity Wood, we were talking about these three hearts. You can see them over there. Somebody said, it was Aramis that said that heart was stone cold. Reminded me of the days when my son was interested in wrestling. Some of you probably remember Stone Cold. What was he? Steve Austin. That's the one. I say to my undying shame, the stone cold heart. And the goal was that we would be like General Booth and many, many others who had a burning heart that caused them to serve Jesus with everything. And then in the middle of that, there was the lukewarm heart. Now, this is where most of us are, actually. And in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus describes it as this: "I would that you were rather hot or cold, but instead you're lukewarm like that cup of tea." And he says in that chapter, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." He said, "I'd rather you were hot," of course he would, "or cold," because when we're cold, we know we're cold. But if we think we're okay and we're not, that's where we've got a problem. So we were talking about having a lukewarm heart. If you see that this is hot and cold, I've got a little picture here. Who can tell me what that is?
The fire tornado.
No. What is it? It's there's a couple of guys there. What are they?
Fire.
Fire something. Firefighters. You know, there's good fire and there's bad fire, isn't there? There's the fire of the Holy Spirit, which is good, and there's bad fire that can cause a lot of destruction. But this today we're talking about the good fire, aren't we? Keeping the good fire going. Now, the devil is a firefighter. He's a firefighter of the good fire. So when we came back, I wonder if any of you felt like me, that on Monday morning, you had a sense of the Holy Spirit when you woke up. How many of you could say that? There was a new sense of God in your heart. I wonder whether any people felt that had kind of diminished by Friday. Was that the same, or did the fire keep burning all through the week? Did it get any less? I'll say for me, it cooled down a bit by the end of the week. And we need to know how to sustain this fire. But the devil is a firefighter, and how does he put out the fire, I wonder? There's a little verse here, and this summarizes it. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another. And that's what I'm doing here this morning. I'm encouraging you every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened, so that your heart doesn't become that stone cold thing, by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is the thing that causes our hearts to stop burning. It's the little words that come out of our mouths. It's the attitude to mum. It's the thing we say to our friend at work. It's the deliberate disobedience. It's just like cold water being poured on our hearts. Is that right? I found this picture on the internet. Anyone know where it is? A place in Italy. It's quite famous. It's called the Dormouth. I'm not going to try and say the Italian. And it's like a mouth, a great big mouth. In fact, it's a door. Joe was reading about a guy called Richard Wurmbrand yesterday, and he said this because he spent a long time in a cell all by himself. And when he came out, he realized that as he started to speak, he lost that sense of God's presence. And there's no quicker way to lose that sense of God's presence, even from morning till evening. I've sometimes been in the prayer meeting in the morning, and by the time I've come back into the meeting, I've lost that sense of his presence. Probably through something I said. A little criticism, a little complaining, a little nastiness. We lose it. The presence of God very often leaves out of our mouth. So we need to be careful what we say to our brothers and sisters, to the people in the playground. Careful what we say and what we do. Our heart, in a way, is a neutral place. Do you remember David Abbott showed us this heart, and it was burning, and then there were these nasty black spots that started to appear on it. It was sin, and that's what cooled it down. That's what caused it to cool down. How can we keep this fire burning? How many of you want to keep the fire burning in our hearts? Well, the Bible teaches us how to do it. In the old days, they used to call these things the means of grace. I'm not asking you to understand that. But it was the way that God has ordained that we can keep his fire burning in our hearts. How do we do that? Number one, we turn from sin. We choose to go God's way. We must turn our back on sin. This morning we were singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. But actually, if we're choosing to sin in our lives, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you are not welcome in my heart. Whatever you say, whatever you sing, if you are choosing to disobey God, you're saying, Holy Spirit, you're not welcome, because he is a Holy Spirit. So we need to turn back to God. If I go back to this heart, it's like we've got God on one side And we got the devil on the other. A few years ago, I was in a prayer meeting, and it was a children's prayer meeting, and one of the teenagers said, I've had a vision, and it's of a fire, and on the one side, there is God pouring oil into the fire. And he said, on the other side is the devil pouring water into the fire. And he is there all the time, the tempter to tempt us away from God. So we need to know what to do with sin. And when we have sinned, we need to turn from our sin. And the reason we can do that is because Jesus died on the cross. So we need to turn back to God. We need to start talking to him. We need to pray. Prayer is the way that the Holy Spirit's fire comes into our hearts. There is no other way. It's the way God has ordained for the Holy Spirit's fire. So we need to remember to pray. That's right. So every time we pray, we turn to him. Now, this isn't that hard, you know. It's good to pray every day, maybe in the morning. Have a little time to pray. Pray with your mums and dads. Pray at night. That's all good. But during the day, remember to pray. It's like just turning your heart to God. And it keeps the fire. Three things you can say to God. I find myself saying these three things all through my day. Sorry. You say something to somebody and the Holy Spirit convicts you of it. Lord, I'm sorry for that attitude. I'm sorry for my pride. I'm sorry that I showed off. I'm sorry that I thought that way. Sorry. It's a wonderful way to pray. It brings God back. It brings the fire back. Thank you. How good to be thankful. Thank you for my breakfast. Thank you for my mum. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the good things. Thank you for my toys. Thank you for my computer. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the difficult things that make me come to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We turn our hearts to God every time we say thank you. And please, the Bible says we should pray about everything. So you're having a tough time at school. You're having a tough time at home. Pray. God, could you help me? They don't have to be long prayers, simple prayers, but just saying, please, please. What are the three things? Can you remember? Sorry. Thank you. Please. Please. Most of us know that one best, don't we? Excellent. Sorry, thank you, please. We need to read our Bibles. Some of you read your Bibles a little bit. Some of you read your Bibles a lot. We need to read our Bibles. I found this wonderful image. It's a Bible on fire. You know, when Jesus was walking with the disciples, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures, the Bible to us? Jesus was walking to them and talking to them, and he opened the Bible to them. And they said, our hearts started to burn. It's a hot book, and it heats up our hearts. So if you don't read your Bible much, read it more. Okay? We need to learn to read our Bibles. We need to get to church. Do you remember Evan Roberts? Who can tell me about Evan Roberts? Anybody remember him? How many years did he go to church before the Holy Spirit fell on Wales? Do you remember? No, you don't, do you? Do you remember? How many years? No guessing. Do you think you remember? 13, spot on. And after 13 years, he used to go to 4 meetings a week. He decided that he was going to get the Holy Spirit. Those were his words. And every week, 4 days a week, he used to go to the meeting. And in the end, God started to meet with him. And he just set his heart so on fire that it affected 100,000 people in Wales. He went to the meeting. It's good to get to church. I love it when I see children coming to church without their parents. I like it when they come with their parents. But there are some children sitting here this morning who sometimes take several buses to come by themselves when mum can't come. I love that. I want that attitude. They want to be in God's house. You know, one of the reasons we felt so good on Monday morning was because we had been with God's people. It was a bit like being in heaven, wasn't it? And we were just clean. It was like we were just cleaned and washed just by being with one another. There's fire in God's people. There's fire in every one of us here this morning. And we get warmed up like those coals in a fire when we're with each other. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is usually poured out when people are together praying, like on the day of Pentecost. They'd been in the meeting for 10 days. Hello. And the last thing, we need to offer our whole lives to God. Who can remember how they used to offer things in the Old Testament? Do any of you remember that from the camp? There was a certain kind of offering. Begins with B. It's called a burnt offering. Here's a picture of it, okay? There are the priests, and they used to put an animal on it. It was the whole animal. It was a picture of the whole of our lives being offered to God. And wherever we find the Holy Spirit's fire being poured down, like in Elijah, this picture here, the fire coming down from heaven, it's always where the whole thing was put on the altar. And if we expect the Holy Spirit's fire and we hold back bits of our life, we're going to be disappointed. If you really want the Holy Spirit's fire, you're going to have to give your whole life to him. Your home life, your leisure life, your work life, your school life, your friendships, everything has got to be on that altar. And then the fire will come in fullness. It's a wonderful thing. Do you remember Evan Roberts, this guy we were talking about? He said, I've built the altar. I've laid the wood in order. I've prepared the offering. I have only to wait for the fire. And within a few hours of saying those words, the Holy Spirit came and filled him so full. He went throughout Wales and there was an amazing revival, really exciting. And he was just a young guy. Just going to finish with this picture of Jesus. I prayed this morning that at the end of the meeting today, people would want to talk less about Carroty Wood and more about Jesus. Not just what a great time we had, you know, getting filthy in the swamp and all that stuff. And that was great. But actually, it's just so good to hear that people were meeting Jesus on the camp. And here he is, that light of the world picture. You can't actually see it from here, but as he holds that lamp and he knocks on the door of our hearts, who can tell me what is in his hands?
The holes that were put in his hand when he was on the cross.
The holes that were put in his hands when he was on the cross. He's knocking on our hearts this morning, young and old, every one of us. I don't know whether you can hear him knocking, saying, come to me, open the door. I'm just in the front hall, let me into some other rooms of your life. I don't know whether you can hear that. If we could hear, he's knocking. And the hands that he's knocking with have got nail prints in them. He's paid an amazing price for you and for me. Let's pray, shall we?
Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts. I thank you so much for what you're doing among the children and teenagers. I thank you for the help that you've given to me in my own heart over this last week. And Father, as we just come to this last part of the meeting, we pray as we open our hearts to you now that you would move among us, Lord. Father, and you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, as we pray together and as the children and teenagers pray among us and we pray for them, Father, we pray for this Pentecost, Lord, in our hearts, that we would have a little bit more this morning. We just ask you now, Lord, as we open our hearts to come among us. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing the song we've been singing, this Set of Fire. We would love it if some of you, if the children and teenagers could stay at the front. I don't know if the secondary school guys could get with a junior school one so that the younger ones aren't praying alone. So if you could kind of pair up or something. And then if any of you would like them to pray for you and just to receive more of the Holy Spirit, and then please would you pray for them, because we saw that somehow he moved among us as we did this. This is such a together thing, this, that he's wanting to be poured out among us. So shall we stand? Shall we stand? If you would like them to pray with you briefly, and then if you would pray for them to receive more of the Holy Spirit, and that God would increasingly turn our hearts from their lukewarm state to something a bit more fiery. Let's sing the song first, and then we'll do that.